1829, Washington Irving came again to England, this time as secretary to the American legation. He published the Conquest of Granada. In 1831 he received the honorary degree of LL.D. from the University of Oxford. Then he returned to America, published in 1832 the Alhambra, in 1835 Legends of the Conquest of Spain. In 1842 he went again to Spain, this time as American minister. Other works were produced, and at the close of his life he achieved his early ambition by writing a Life of Washington, after whom he had been named, and who had laid his hand upon his head and blessed him when he was a child of five. Although the first of the five volumes of the Life of Washington did not appear until he was more than 70 years old, he lived to complete the work, and died on the 28th of November, 1859. Washington Irving never married. He had loved, in his early years, a daughter of his friend Mrs. Hoffman, had sat by her deathbed when she was a girl of 17, and waited until his own death restored her to him. H.M. End of Section 1, Introduction. Section 2 of Knickerbocker's History of New York, Volume 2, by Washington Irving. Knickerbocker's History of New York, Volume 2, by Washington Irving. Book 4, Chapter 6. Next to his projects for the suppression of poverty, may be classed those of William the Testy for increasing the wealth of New Amsterdam. Solomon, of whose character for wisdom the little governor was somewhat emulous, had made gold and silver as plenty as the stones in the streets of Jerusalem. William Kieft could not pretend to vie with him as to the precious metals, but he determined, as an equivalent, to flood the streets of New Amsterdam with Indian money. This was nothing more nor less than strings of beads, wrought out of clams, periwinkles, and other shellfish, and called seawant or wampum. These had formed a native currency among the simple savages, who were content to take them of the Dutchmen in exchange for peltries. In an unlucky moment, William the Testy, seeing this money of easy production, conceived the project of making it the current coin of the province. It is true it had an intrinsic value among the Indians, who used it to ornament their robes and moccasins. But among the honest burghers it had no more intrinsic value than those rags which form the paper currency of modern days. This consideration, however, had no weight with William Kieft. He began by paying all the servants of the company and all the debts of government in strings of wampum. He sent emissaries to sweep the shores of Long Island, which was the Ophir of this modern Solomon, and abounded in shellfish. These were transported in loads to New Amsterdam, coined into Indian money, and launched into circulation. And now, for a time, affairs went on swimmingly. Money became as plentiful as in the modern days of paper currency. And, to use the popular phrase, a wonderful impulse was given to public prosperity. Yankee traders poured into the province, buying everything they could lay their hands on, and paying the worthy Dutchmen their own price in Indian money. If the latter, however, attempted to pay the Yankees in the same coin for their tinware and wooden bowls, the case was altered. Nothing would do but Dutch guilders and such like metallic currency. What was worse, the Yankees introduced an inferior kind of wampum, made of oyster shells, with which they deluged the province, carrying off all the silver and gold, the Dutch herrings, and Dutch cheeses. Thus early did the knowing men of the East manifest their skill in bargaining the New Amsterdammers out of the oyster and leaving them the shell. Footnote. In a manuscript record of the province, dated 1659, Library of the New York Historical Society, is the following mention of Indian money. Seawant, alias wampum. Beads, manufactured from the quahang or whelk, a shellfish formerly abounding on our coasts, but lately of more rare occurrence, of two colors, black and white.